Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise for dying on the cross for us. Jesus, I want to thank you from my heart for every drop of blood you shed, for every wound you bore. I want to thank you, dear God, for sending your Son. I want to say I appreciate the atonement, the washing, the cleansing, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. I have a message on my heart, and I want to read from the book of Ezra, if you'd like to read there with me. But I appreciate the Lord helping me. I've been asking Him to help me. I believe the Lord's going to help us here. But I sure would like for you all to help me as well. Amen. I preached a youth camp last week. And some of y'all been to Russellville. And I preached that youth camp. This is the 27th year I've preached that youth camp. Isn't that amazing? Who would have ever thought something like that would happen? But another miracle happened. First time I can remember, I preached 4 nights out of 5. Most of the time it's 2 or 3. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just telling you, I preached a lot last week, and I preached Saturday night at my church because we still have Saturday night church. And Sunday morning came on up here, and here I am at the end of the world. At Savannah, Georgia, and it's a great place, I'll tell you. Amen. The end of the world's a very nice place. But boy, it seemed like it took me a long time to get here. Amen. And I'm thinking already about how long it's going to take me to get back. But praise God. I believe y'all are very good people. I believe y'all helped me. I preached this message several years ago. And in April, I was reminded of it again. And I pray that the Lord would help me some way to preach this to you. Ezra chapter 2, if you've heard it before, if you heard me preach this before, I just felt this on my heart, and so I'm not going to apologize. I can only do what the Lord, or I feel like the Lord wants me to. Ezra chapter 2 is a list of names for the most part. It's a list of families and tribes. It's people that came back from Babylon to build Jerusalem, and to build the house of God. And I'll tell you what, I admire these people. Because they could have stayed in Babylon. They'd been there 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the place of Jerusalem. No temple, no houses, no grocery stores, no malls, no electricity, you know, no power tools. I mean, they didn't have that anyway, but you just think about this. They journeyed for a long time in a dangerous journey to go back to a place to rebuild it, and it was dangerous to rebuild it. There was no protective walls. They were not going back to farms that had been plowed and planted. They were not going back to nice houses. It was a heap of ruins, folks. So I admire these folks, and I believe that God put them in this holy book because He felt like they needed some recognition. Not just in their day, but He wanted people in 2017 to recognize these rebuilders of Jerusalem and rebuilders of the house of God. But not only that, there was a group of people that's within this list that stuck out to me. And verse 43 is where I want to read. And it says, I know who Levites are. I know who priests are. I know the different tribes, you know. And every once in a while, there's a name like Solomon's servants and so on in here. I know who Solomon was. But there's a lot of people in this list as individuals I don't know. And then it listed this one group of people that I did not. I know they weren't of the tribes of Israel. It says in verse 43, the Nethinims. And then it goes on and lists some others. And then in verse 58, it says, and all the Nethinims. And verse 70 of Ezra chapter 2 says, so the priest and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. And I want to preach on these people called the Nethinims, and I want to preach on just happy to be here. Amen. Just happy to be here. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I preached on this in Virginia, and Randy Webb called me the next day. He said, you know, I like that message on the Neanderthals you preached the other night. For some reason, I didn't quite get it across to him, or he may be doing like he does a lot of times, just playing a little dumb there. But at any rate, I want to preach on just happy to be here. As I read this a few years ago, I wondered, who are these people? And I looked up the meaning of their name, and it meant gift or given or dedicated. And so, therefore, that gives some little insight into it. Amen. They were gifts in some manner, a group of people that were given, dedicated in some manner. And then in my center column reference Bible, it would usually point back to a place in Joshua chapter 9. In Joshua chapter 9, there's a story about a group of people named the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites heard of all the things the children of Israel had done and how they had destroyed Jericho and how God had blessed them and brought them out of Egypt and so on. And so they were Canaanites. They knew they was next on the list somewhere down there, and they decided that they would deceive the children of Israel and go into some type of peace treaty. And they acted like they journeyed from a long, far country away. Amen. Their shoes looked wore out. Their bread was all moldy. And it was a sight the way that they looked, but they was just a little ways away. And they entered into this peace treaty with the children of Israel. I'll tell you, it's amazing to me, even though they lied, God did not allow the Israelites to break their vow. Now, we better be careful about what we say. Can you say amen? Especially when you say for better or worse, rich or poor, and so on, you know. God don't let you out of your vows too. You understand what I'm saying here? Hey, man, and that's a side note. That don't have a thing to do with my message except it's in the Bible. Amen. So I want to tell you right now, they didn't get out of their vow, even though these other people lied to them, even though these other folks, amen, had been dishonest, but they did not allow them to remain in their positions of royalty and wealth and nice houses. You know what they became? They became servants. They became slaves. Amen. And in verse 22, Joshua says this, and Joshua called for them and spake unto them, saying, whereof ye have beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water. But this next little place here shows us what that they really became. Says, they were doing all this for the house of my God. That's what Joshua said. You are servants for the house of my God. You're supposed to do what the Levites and the priests and the different ones want you to do. And in verse 27, and Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose. And so here, amen, as I look at these Nethinims that were gifts, they were gift of servants to the house of God. They were to chop wood, draw water, take care of whatever the priests, amen, and whatever the Levites needed them to do, amen, in order to keep the work of God going. Amen. So, amen, what amazed me is here it is, Joshua, at the very beginning of the conquest of Canaan land, here they are. I don't know what date that was. I don't know what year B.C. that was. I probably could have studied and figured it out. But there, amen, whatever date that was, all the way through the conquest of Canaan, the time of the judges, the time of the kings, and then the judgment of Israel and the 70 years in Babylon, they were given, this group of people were given a chance to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the house of God, and rebuild Jerusalem. And somewhere along the line, Grandma and Papa Gibeonite had passed down a certain loyalty, amen, that lasted. It lasted thousands of years. Grandma and Papa Gibeon had done so well at instilling in their children and their grandchildren how good it was to be servants of the house of God. Amen. That even after they had been in Babylon and no doubt had nice houses, may have had businesses of their own, had a certain level of freedom in Babylon. If they wanted to stay there, they could have stayed there. If they wanted to keep their businesses and their houses, they could have if they just so desired. But instead, what'd they do? They journeyed over the hundreds of miles to go back to a wasteland and said, I want to rebuild Jerusalem. I want to rebuild the house of God. Now, let me just tell you something, folks. Amen. Depressed, complaining, whining people can't pass down that to their children. I mean, you can pass that down to your children, but you can't pass down a loyalty to church. If you're whining, complaining, picky, you can't. Somewhere along the line, the Gibeonites became very happy to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? Oh, I hope the Lord will help me preach here tonight. And so there had to be a progression here from when that they were first captive, amen, from when that they became servants, to all the way to where that they could instill this in generations to come, that the house of God's special. Serving in the house of God's special. Being in Jerusalem is something that's wonderful, to where generations, thousands of years separated, would come back and say, I want to rebuild, even if it's dangerous, even if I have to give up. I want to rebuild this. Oh, praise the holy name of God. Amen. In my estimation, they had to get happy about it. They had to be happy about serving the Lord. Amen. I don't know where people get this, that you're supposed, the depth of your devotion shows how sad and serious you are. And I'm not saying you have to be joking all the time to be happy. I'm just saying there is a joy about serving the Lord, folks. If you're going to pass that on to children and grandchildren and generations, you're going to have to start liking it. And in my estimation, there's plenty to like about serving God. Amen. Hallelujah. So there they were. These people that were cursed, Canaanites, all of a sudden doing something that we all admire. I'll tell you what, I want my children, if the Lord should tarry my grandchildren and so on, amen, and generations to come, to be happy to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I would like for this group of people right here to get so excited about serving God that it catches on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. But you're going to have to be happy about going to church, happy about camp meeting, just happy to be here. So I got 3 points. Hey, man, I'll try to get through them. Now, listen, I love altar services. I hope you do too. Amen, because if you love them, then I can give an altar call and you'll come and just be happy to be in the presence of God. Amen, and it'll be a wonderful time even if I don't preach too good. I'm so glad my wife came because when she sings, at least something good comes out of my ministry. Whether I preach good or not. And if you'll pray good at the end of this message, I want you to know something good will come out of this, whether I preach good or not. Amen. My 3 points, if you like points, here they are. Just happy to be alive. Just happy to serve. And just happy to belong. Amen. The first point, just happy to be alive. Amen. You know the way that it was. They invaded Canaan land. They came in not just with the greatest army, but with the greatest God. Amen. And that made Jericho fall. That made all these others. Egypt was nothing compared to this God. And all of this land was under a curse. All the Canaanites were supposed to, amen, to be destroyed by the righteous wrath of God being poured out through the children of Israel upon these people. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I already told you how that they started trying to circumvent that. But these were cursed people. They knew what had happened to Egypt and what had happened to Jericho was fixing to happen to Gibeon. They knew the sword was coming and there was nothing they could do about it. And so, even though they had went to these means of deception, and even though Joshua had made this proclamation to them, amen, I can just see that king, amen, dressing up like a servant, amen, putting away his royal robes, amen, forgetting his crown, amen, and saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Well, we'd like for you to chop wood over here. Have you ever chopped wood? Well, always had servants to do that. I can't say I ever really have wielded an axe too good, but I can learn. Because I'll tell you what, I'm just happy to be alive. I'm happy my wife's alive. I'm happy my daughter and son's alive. I'm glad my family's alive. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be alive. I'll gladly chop wood because I'm happy to be alive. Amen. Then that great big, amen, warrior that used to protect that place and everybody knew he could handle a sword and, amen, all of a sudden he's carrying water and he's not the hero of Gibeon anymore. He's just a servant, amen, to the house of God. And they look at his muscles and he's carrying water up there. Amen. He said, I'll tell you, what were you before? Oh, I was a warrior. I was the leader of the army. I'll tell you. What people talked about how I used to fight and stuff, but I'll just tell you the truth. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to carry water for y'all. I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be alive. And there the banker, he gets to clean out the stables of the sheep and so on that they have for sacrifices. And hey man, you know what? They're all happy that the sword didn't come to them. They're all happy that they're not destroyed, even though they were dishonest. Can I tell you something about them? Hey, man, they still believe more than some church people believe. They believed God was going to judge them for their sins and their evil wickedness. Now listen, I know it's an imperfect faith, but they was pagans. They didn't know nothing about God. But they did believe they was fixing to be judged with the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. And I just want you to understand that nobody's really going to get saved until they figure out that sin is as bad as the Bible says it is, and hell is a real place with real torments and fire. Amen. Amen. I've heard some people say, well, listen, you know, nobody's going to get converted on preaching on hell and scaring people. I've heard people say that, you know. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Noah was, by faith, Noah built an ark to the saving of his house and was moved with fear. Why was he moved with fear? I'll tell you why. Because he believed what God said about judgment. Amen. I'll just tell you, there's some church people, and if church people would start believing it, I think sinners could believe it a whole lot better. Amen. So they believed judgment was coming, and that was a limited faith. But you know, I really believe in a lot of ways God must have blessed their limited faith, even though they really didn't quite understand who God was. Amen. They just believed that they was judgment bound, and that was it. I want to tell you right now, if you're a sinner, a backslider here tonight, or you're a hypocrite, hiding sin, you're judgment bound. I don't care if you got me fooled and everybody else fooled. Amen. There is a God in heaven, and sin is really as bad as what it says in the Bible. Amen. And hell is more than we can imagine as far as horrible. I want to preach to you, if you believe that, there's an escape. I remember when I went to youth camp back in 1978 at Granite City. I thought I was pretty good. Amen. But I had some sins in my life that I wasn't taking care of. And they started hitting on that a little bit. And I kind of started getting a little convicted. But when Joy Hyde preached on a Thursday morning, amen, on hell, all of a sudden, all the stuff I was doing behind the scenes seemed pretty bad. Amen. All of a sudden, I was frightened. Amen. I'll just tell you the truth. I went and prayed because I was scared about going to hell. And in fact, I went home from youth camp full of the Holy Ghost. And amen, I got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. Got prayed through. But I also am going to tell you the truth. I went home from youth camp and I was still scared of going to hell. I was still afraid. I didn't want to do anything that would cause me to backslide. I did not want to go to hell. It was a fearful thing. I have to admit, the devil, amen, took it and tormented a little beyond. But I'm just going to tell you, a healthy fear of hell is a wonderful thing. It'll make you just happy to be in church, just happy to be alive. I'm just glad I didn't die in that car wreck. I'm so thankful, God, you gave me another chance. I had a man in my church, he's dead and gone on to be with the Lord right now, but I had a man in my church named L.D. Seymour. Brother L.D. was in and out of church for years. And when I was evangelist preaching revival at Fairland, I think he prayed several times, you know. We got to count him bunches of times, you know, in revivals. But one year while we was having our camp meeting, I got a phone call. I said, Brother Lord, this is LD. He said, I had a dream or a vision. He's a truck driver. He said, I don't know what it was. But he said, I was going down this mountain in my truck. I was out of control. My brakes was gone. I couldn't gear it down. He said, my truck was out of control. And he said, that was scary. But what was more frightening was at the bottom of the hill, I saw hell. He said, I saw people in torment. I saw the fires of hell. And Brother Lloyd, he said, I prayed right here in my truck when I woke up. He said, or whatever happened, you know, if it's a vision or a dream. He said, when I came to myself, I prayed through. But I'm coming home as quick as I can because I want to pray in church. And he hit the altar real quick, and I never had another problem. Amen. With L.D. Seymour being in and out of church, not till the day he died. You know what happened? Amen. He just got God, happy to be alive. Just happy. I'm happy I'm not in hell. I'm glad the Lord had mercy on me. Amen. I realize where I could have been. I realize where I should have been. I realize I should have been there a long time. But thank God. I thank God. I thank God. Amen. I'm alive. Thank God I'm not in hell. Amen. Then it seemed to me like somewhere along the line, they had to go from just happy to be alive to just, I'm really glad I get to do this. I'm happy to serve. I'm happy to be a servant in the house of God. I'm glad I can do this. I mean, I can't go in like the priest. I can't go in like the Levites, but I'm glad I can do what I can. Amen. And listen, I know this is just me, but please forgive me. It's not in the Bible, but you know eventually one of them fellas is going to say, what are we chopping all this wood for? What are we drawing all this water for? They had to have some questions, and somebody had to tell them why. Somewhere along the line. They were not just chopping wood, said, boy, I'll tell you, they use a lot of wood. I'll never ask a question. Somewhere along the line, they realized there was a reason for all this wood beyond just cooking. Amen. They realized there was a reason for all this water for some reason, and all these sheep and stuff, more than just clothing and food. There was a reason for all of this other stuff. So I just want to ask you something someday, Grandpa Gibeon said, I just want to ask you something. Why in the world do you have all these sheep? Why in the world do you have all this water? Why do you have all this stuff? And we'll just start with the water. And I think, now this is me, I understand. I think they probably said, well, you got to understand something about our God. Our God is holy. Hallelujah. And this is a clean way that we have to serve Him. He doesn't cause us to be defiled and evil and wicked in our hearts. He doesn't. Amen. You know, the Canaanite gods caused all kinds of evil wickedness, even sacrificing their children. Amen. But they said, our God is different than your gods. Amen. He's a holy God. Amen. And some people say, well, I don't like that idea. Well, you better like that idea, because if He wasn't holy, He couldn't be good. Amen. If He wasn't holy, He might wake up tomorrow and change the rules if He's in a bad mood. Amen. He might make it wrong for people to walk instead of fly. And you say, well, I can't fly. And you say, so there you go. You know, you're in trouble. But I want you to know, since God is holy, He's the same every day. And He's a good God. I know some people say He's sovereign, and He is sovereign. But to me, the way they make sovereignty is He's so sovereign, He can be evil. He can send people to hell. I'm telling you, my God is a holy God, and He's a good God. He's good all the time. He's good every day. He doesn't get better, because you can't get no better. And He won't ever get any worse. Amen. Because He's always the same. Praise the Lord. And so we got a holy God. But to symbolize this, in our place of worship, we have a laver that they had made out of the mirrors of the ladies of Israel. And they fashioned it, and it held water. And the priest, before they would go in there, they would examine themselves to see if they were dirty in any manner. And they would look in that, and if there was any spots or dirt or maybe even blood from the sacrifice, they'd take the water. Amen. And wash. This is a clean way. Amen. And all of a sudden, that fellow was saying, boy, I'm just happy to be alive. All of a sudden he said, you know, I never heard of a good God that was a holy God that didn't change His mind back and forth and didn't require you a bunch of silly stuff. I tell you what, I'm happy. I'm just happy to, draw water and carry water for a good God. I'm glad to carry water for a holy God. I'm glad to carry water for this clean way. Praise the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, well, why do you have all these sheep? Why do we have to take care of them? Listen, I'm still happy to be alive. I'm not complaining. Yeah. Why is all this? Well, we got a holy God, but He loves us. And when we have sinned, He made a way where our sins could be covered and could be forgiven. When an innocent victim, these lambs, take the place of the guilty, then our sins can be forgiven and covered, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what Moses taught us. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So this innocent lamb can take the place of us guilty people, and God can cover our sins. Amen. We got a God that loves us and forgives us and made a way of sacrifice. And all of a sudden, Grandpa Gibeon said, well, I'd be glad to take care of the lambs of God that can make a way where we can be forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the fellow chopping wood said, what's all this wood about? Well, let me just tell you the story about this. You see, back years ago when we dedicated this altar and this house, amen, we put a sacrifice on that altar, and we all felt like we was putting ourselves on that altar. It's like all of Israel was saying, here we are. Amen. And fire fell from heaven and came down on the altar and consumed the sacrifice and the wood, and God gave us fire. Now fire is a symbol of the presence of God, and we put ourselves on the altar, and so that meant God's presence was going to come down and consume us. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could preach this here. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so I'll tell you, you've got a big job, sir. You're chopping wood. You're chopping wood to keep the fire God gave us burning. That's what you're doing. Woo! Hey, man, you mean I ain't just sweating and working? No. No, you got an important job. You're keeping the fire burning. Hallelujah. You know, some people would say, well, I'll tell you what, if I didn't get to go up there and put it on the altar myself, I can't do like them priests. Put it on the altar myself. I just ain't going to chop no wood. Hey, listen. If somebody else sings and they get anointed, go ahead and worship with them. Put some wood on that fire right there. Amen. Amen. If somebody else is preaching the word of God, don't set on them. Help them preach. Amen. It don't have to be you or your clique doing it for it to be God. Amen. Everything we do keeps the fire burning. God gave us the fire at Pentecost. Let's keep it burning with every song and everything we do. What you do is important, my friend. Amen. When you're serving those meals out there, I'll tell you what, we can't have camp meeting without all the extra stuff that sometimes don't get up in front like I am right now. Amen. I'll just tell you what, don't let the devil tell you just because you ain't got the mic, you're not important. I'll just tell you right now, you're keeping the fire burning. You're keeping camp meeting going. Amen. God loves you. Hallelujah. You've got an important job, my friend. And when we all get together and have church and push whoever's singing and worship when somebody's preaching and work the altar and pray for those that need the Holy Ghost, I want you to know everything that happens in church is there to keep the fire going. Hallelujah. Now let me just tell you, it seems to me like somewhere they had to move from I'm just happy to be alive to after they found out all the things about God, I'm happy to serve God. I don't know how it was in your life. You may have got saved on John 3:16. I don't know. I got saved on preaching on hell. And I had a fear of hell that was right here. It was way high. Amen. Thank God for it. And over the years, I believe my love for the Lord got way higher than my fear of hell. Hallelujah. I was happy to be alive. I was happy to go to church. Amen. I really was. But all of a sudden, I started loving going to church. I started loving singing songs. I started loving preaching and hearing preaching. I love the Word of God. Hey, man, I'm not just reading and praying because I don't want to go to hell. I love the Bible. I love to be in the presence of God. I'm not just going to church because I'm afraid I'll die lost one day. I'm going to church because I love to shout and sing the praises of God. Hey, listen. You got to get, there's another problem, and I don't know that you've got it, but every once in a while I've seen somebody get saved, and they got to talking about all the stuff they gave up. Boy, I tell you, if I hadn't got saved, I'd have been a country music star. Sure you would, sure, yeah. Amen. If I hadn't have got saved, I'd have been a millionaire. Whatever. You know, if I hadn't got saved, I would have been an NFL whatever. Amen. There's all kinds of dreams people put out there. Hey, man, if you hadn't got saved, I'll tell you where you probably could have been, should have been. You'd have been in hell. That's right. Hey, man. But I'll tell you, I got to hurry here. These simple facts. If the banker of Gibeon was all the time thinking of his nice house that he gave up, and all the time thinking of all the nice stuff he gave up, and if the ruler of Gibeon was all the time thinking about his crown and his robe instead of how good it was to be alive and how wonderful it was to serve a holy God that forgives sin and sends his fire and his presence in the midst of people that's unworthy. Hey, man, if he'd have ever got to thinking about that, he'd have got dissatisfied. He couldn't have passed his joy on to the next generation whatsoever. Nobody would have wanted to had his job or done what he did. I'll tell you what happened. They was not thinking about the house they had, the crown they had, the riches they had. They got to thinking somewhere there about the God they served, about how good he was, about how he forgave sins, about how his presence came down. We don't know all the miracles they witnessed. We do understand God's glory was obvious and evident right there many a times in the very house of God. Oh, and so I want to ask you, what do you talk more about? You know, you can pass a lot of stuff down to your children. I'm not against hunting when I say this, but I'll tell you what, I've got some men in my church, they do not have any trouble passing hunting down to their boys. You say, well, it's in a boy's blood, maybe so. But if it's in dad's blood, it's sure going to be in the boy's blood. You understand what I'm saying? There's other stuff people get excited about that I don't think they ought to, and they can pass it down. But if it's a whining, complaining thing about going to church, all the time, church, let me just, you're not going to pass your value. If you've got any values, you're not, I'll tell you, hey man, instead of sitting around looking at all the stuff that's not right, how about the stuff that's right with the church? How about the things that's good about God? God loves us. God forgives us. God delivers us. And I'm preaching to you that this camp meeting could be joy from tonight until the last amen. If we get happy about the blessings of the Lord. Has God healed anybody here? Has God saved anybody here? Has God delivered you from sin? Amen. And put you on the road to victory? Amen. There's no blood washed
child of God ought to be complaining about what they gave up. There's no sanctified child of God ought to be talking about, amen, oh, it was fun back when you got victory over something. Come on now. Amen, you ought to be shouting the victory. I'm happy to serve God. I'm happy to go to the house of God. I'm happy to be in church. I'm glad to sing with the saints of the Lord.
Woo. And then, whoo, glory. Woo. Hallelujah. A lot of it has to do with your attitude, my friend. You can be down on anything. If you listen, there's all I've known of husbands before, or wives, vice versa, that got picking apart that person that they used to just love so much. I heard of one preacher, and there's a couple having trouble, and the man was having trouble. He said, all these things she does just bugs me right now. He said, I want you to get up every morning and start thanking God for 10 things she does right. In 2 weeks' time, the marriage was turned around. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God's a good God. He's given us plenty of good things to talk about. He's given us a lot of good things. Amen. A lot of great memories. A lot of wonderful church services. I wonder how many camp meetings have been here where people shouted. Amen. People got the blessing of the Lord upon their lives. I just want you to know. Amen. I'm happy to be here. I have a great expectation of new things taking place. Glory be to Jesus, because God's presence is in this place. Let me talk to you finally. Amen. Just happy to belong. Just happy to be a part. Glory to God. Brother Ryan, get your Bible. I may need you here in just a minute, but I want to read just a little bit more. Well, I may miss some stuff in my notes. But anyway, I don't care. Whew, I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. There is one thing I want to point out. Nehemiah 3:26. When they rebuilt Jerusalem, I want you to notice where the Nethinims picked to live. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel under the place over against the water gate. They said, we want to get near where we can draw the water and take it to the house of God. Oh, I love that. But anyway. You know, it's just good if you get to serving God just right to build your house around it, to make it convenient for you to serve God. Make it inconvenient for you to not serve God, but keep everything convenient for your children. Amen. To go to church, to go to youth camp. Amen. To get in the choir and do something for the Lord. Oh, yes. Just happy to belong. Nehemiah 10:28. They made a covenant here. It says, and the rest of the people, the Israelites, you know, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands. Oh, I love that. These were Canaanites. But they weren't Canaanites no more. They had separated themselves. Amen. They was in Canaan, but they wasn't a part of the Canaanites. They was a part of the children of Israel. They had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. Well, it included them right there, didn't it? Not just Levites and priests and porters and singers, right? Oh, I hope y'all help me. I don't want to take too long here. Woo! Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Separated themselves from the people of the land under the law of God. Their wives. Listen to that. Their sons. Their daughters. Everyone having knowledge, having understanding. Now listen, y'all remember the group I'm talking about. It says they clave to their brethren. Their nobles and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law. Oh, I just love that. Amen. I know there's 12 tribes, but right here the Nethinims was called brothers. They part of the family. They part of the family. Glory to God. You know what? They didn't dress like Canaanites. They didn't act like Canaanites. They looked like Israelites. They lived like, they identified with Israel. They were brothers of Israel. They were accepted in the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. I want you to understand something. There comes a time where you lose your old identity with this old world. And you take up your identity with the family of God. In fact, I read in a Bible dictionary that there is no reference to Nethinims in the times of Jesus. And the reason that they gave was that they had become assimilated into the family of God in such a manner. They had intermarried with the priestly family and the Levites, and they were no longer unable to go into the house of God, but they were not only... Hey man, they were serving in the house of God as well. Oh, glory be to Jesus. They lost their identity with the family of God. Now I'll just tell you the truth, my brothers and sisters. I don't want to be identified with the Georgia Bulldogs or the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't want to be identified with a rock group, a country music group, or a Christian rock group. I want to be a child of God. I want everybody to know I'm a child of God. When we walk down the mall, I want my wife and my family to stick out like a Christian ought to stick out. Woo! I'm not ashamed. Amen. I don't want to be a Canaanite. Canaanites are cursed. I want to be a part of the family of God. Oh, amen. But how accepted are we in the family of God? How accepted? Brother, would you read in Ephesians chapter 1, and I think it's verse 3. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3. Amen. Glory to God. Brother Dwayne, would you get John 17 here in just a second? Ephesians 1 and 3. What did it say there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. Who hath blessed us. Unworthy. Us. People that should be in hell. Have blessed us. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. How many blessings did He bless you with? All of them. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. And I know they're in heaven, in heavenly places. Skip on down to verse 6. Amen. He got a lot more praise there. I can't get into it. I need to hurry here. Come on, verse 6. What does it say? Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now listen, when I used to read that thing He's talking about in the beloved church. But that's not the context. Y'all remember verse 3. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's talking about the beloved Son of God. How accepted are we? We're as accepted as Jesus Christ is. We're in Christ. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I keep on saying I'm trying to quit, but this is so good to me. I'm just getting so blessed. I'm leaving y'all out somehow, though. Hey, man, seem like I'm leaving y'all out. Hey, man, but anyway, how blessed are we? We're blessed in Christ with all blessings. How accepted are we? We're accepted in Christ before God the Father. Now, hey, man, Philemon chapter 1, hey, man, that's the only chapter. Hey, man, verse 17, I don't know. Amen, brother, would you flip over there, Philemon? If you say it wrong, Philemon, okay? I'll say it wrong for you. Verse 17, Philemon. All right, y'all remember Onesimus ran away from Philemon, stole some money. He said, if thou count me therefore partner, receive this fella as myself. So how are you supposed to receive Onesimus that stole from you and did you wrong? Yeah, I love that. Here, just a second, brother. How are you supposed to receive him, Philemon? Hey, man, I'll tell you how. Just like you heard that Paul got out of prison and was knocking on your door, that's how you're supposed to receive him. Receive him just like you'd receive me. Hallelujah. And then he says this. What's he say? If he wronged you, if he stole some money from you, owe a thing, ought, put it on my account. You know what Jesus says to the Father? I want you to accept them like you can accept me. And if they rebelled against you, if they sinned, I want you to put that on my account. Amen. And count it paid when I went to the cross. That's how accepted you are, my glory to God. Somebody could get filled with the Holy Ghost. Just the devil's been telling you you can't get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you're a child of God, amen, just like Jesus had that dove come down upon him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to know God accepts you, and you can receive the Holy Ghost. Woo. I got a brother in my church, Brother Dennis, pastor, not far from me. He knows Brother Dwayne Bond, probably some others do. He's a farmer, had two mama cows. One mama cow died giving birth, the other mama cow had her calf die. And so he tried to get the living mama cow to take the living calf as her own. But she wouldn't do it. And you know what he did? He skint the dead calf. And he put the skin of the dead calf on the living calf. And the mama cow, accepted. The calf. Oh, glory to God. I know it's imperfect, but I'll just tell you what happened. Amen. God allowed Jesus to die, and his righteousness was put on us when our filthiness was put on him, and we're accepted. We're accepted. We're accepted. Amen. You say, how much does God love us? How much, Brother Dwayne, would you read John 17? Jesus is praying. Verse 23, he's praying for our unity. Amen. What's he say there? I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know. I'll tell you, I want the world to know something. What do I want the world to know? That thou hast sent me. Wait a second now, this is something big now, folks. I want the world to know that thou hast sent me and what? And hast loved them. How much does God love us, Brother Dwayne? As thou hast loved me. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, I tell you, we ought to be a shouting. We ought to be happy to be here. Hallelujah. How much does God love us? He loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That's how much he loves us.
Amen. I'll tell you, say, I don't know if God will answer my prayer. Go in Jesus' name and see if He'll. Listen, you're not going in Savannah's name. You're not going in Lord Shoecraft's name. You're going in the name of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes angels must stand back and look at us and say, why in the world can't they? Amen. We can say holy, holy, holy all day long. Amen. And Jesus never died for us. Amen. I want you to know God's holy and God's forgiving and God wants to change people's lives tonight. Whew. Oh, you think you can get a prayer through? You think you can shout the victory? Hey, man, some of you are focusing on your problems so much you can't see what God's done for you. Hey, man, it may not be that you're coming to church and talking about how, you know, how bad everything is. You can't see what God's doing. It may be that you're talking about your problems so much you can't see how good God is. I'm here to distract you. You remember when you're just happy not to be in hell? Hallelujah. You remember when it's all new? Camp meeting was new. Praying was new. The Bible was new. I tell you, God wants to bring back that new in your heart where you're happy to go to church. You're happy to pray in the altar. You're happy to shout the praises of God. Amen. You're happy in the house of God. Let we all stand. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now if you're happy to be a child of God. If you've been seeking the Holy Ghost, I want everybody that needs the Holy Ghost to seek the Holy Ghost tonight and believe God. He still sends the fire, don't He? But I'm giving a special invitation for somebody the devil has been telling you, you can't get the Holy Ghost. Come on right now. Because God accepts you. If you're a child of God, I want you to know He wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Is there anybody? Is there anybody here? Amen. Amen. Come on, you say, Brother Lloyd, I'll tell you, I don't have the boldness to come up there right now. Well, amen. Put that fear away and come up here and raise your hands and say, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. It's a part of what God has planned for His children, and I want the family gift. Come on right now. Come on right now. God bless these young men for stepping out.
Yeah, you obey the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anyone else? Anyone else? My next question. Is there someone here that say, Brother Lloyd, I've been battling depression. I've been battling some problems that's weighed me down. It's as if that it's continually there before me. I want to come up there and think about what a good God I have and serve. And I want to just be happy to serve the Lord and belong to Him and be a part of His family. I want to have an uplifting experience in this altar. Step out right now. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. Just come on up here right now. Amen. Glory to God. That's it. Come on up here, but raise your hands. God's going to help you. Hey, listen, if you're a backslider here tonight, and all of a sudden you realize what you left, you need to come up here and get your heart right with God.
Trouble and sorrow.
Hallelujah.
Banished away.
All right. What about it? Are you here tonight? You've been praying for your lost loved ones, and the devil's been telling you you can't get a prayer through, and you're wanting to come up here right now and say, it's time for me to have some victory. God's accepted me. I can come before the presence of God. Hey man, you're having some problem with temptation. And you say, I want some victory here tonight. I want you to know that there's victory for you. God by His Son accepts you. God by His Son wants to lift you up. Yeah, come on. Hey, Brother Lloyd, I've been having trouble. I've been wanting to identify with the world. Well, come up here and lose your identity in Christ.
My love divine.